You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Honey Do Me Podcast. I'm Cass.
And I'm Emma. And this is our podcast about having sex, about performing fellatio, about fingering butts or holes or flicking nipples. I find great joy in finding different ways to describe this podcast because it's vast.
Because those are all things that we have covered. It is not strictly a podcast about blowjobs because you and I would run out of stuff to talk about.
Like, surely.
3 years ago.
I would be bored 3 years ago if that's what this was.
So we like to keep it diverse. This month and next, we are focused on genitals, your genitals, our genitals, the world's genitals, how to pleasure them, how to take care of them, all that good stuff, otherwise known as tips, tricks, and naughty bits.
Yeah.
If one you want of our, something a little.
It's a really fun title for us to say over and over again, so that's why we will. Yeah. Just saying. And today we're talking about going down on a vulva and all that can entail for oral sex, oral pleasure on a vulva, with none other than the most magical sounding little bird, Annabelle Knight.
Yes, she's such an amazing sex educator. And what I really like about this episode is we go into a lot about receiving oral and just kind of working through a lot of the things that can come up when you are receiving.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously there's a lot of tips for giving oral to a vulva as well. It's just a really good episode and Annabelle's fucking amazing.
Yeah. So, what's the silliest thing, if you can recall, that you've ever, like, your mind's ever drifted off to while getting sex performed on you?
Oh, God.
I feel like there has been times where I'm like, Emma, oh, my God, stop thinking about that. Someone has their tongue between your legs.
I mean, I feel like a better question would be, like, what has your mind not drifted off to?
Totally.
You know what I mean? I am a drifter. My mind will drift. I will be thinking about something else. Mm-hmm. Something I need to work on? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Of course.
But it's where I'm at. And we're meeting me where I'm at. I truly don't know if there's anything I haven't thought about.
So real. I think I've tried to play a whole episode of The Office in my head once.
I love that for you.
I think I have from like start to finish. I try to be like, da-na-na, da-na-na. And then I go through it.
And literally start to finish.
Start to finish, babe. I really do try. But I do want to be better about that because receiving pleasure is important.
It's like we kind of deserve it or something. You know what I mean? And it's hard to really receive when you're focused on something else. And then there's just something going on between your legs that's kind of indecipherable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we hope that you enjoy Annabelle and that you can enjoy being the receiver of this knowledge that she will impart on you. It's a beautiful voice to behold. So with that, we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Whenever you're ready, you can go ahead and kick us off.
Oh my goodness. I always hate stuff like this because I'm like, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so and this is what I do. And then I feel like I'm talking for like 4 hours about myself, but I'll give it a go. Okay. So hi, my name's Annabelle Knight, and I'm a UK-based sex and relationship expert. I'm also a best-selling author, writer, relationship coach, and personal trainer as well.
That was like 4 seconds. It was perfect.
I know, but it feels like an eternity to me.
That's so fun. I totally get it. Thank you so much for coming on with us today. We can't wait to talk with you about going down on a vulva, vagina, because there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of anxiety and it's a lot of pressure when you're set up to perform. So
Yeah, completely.
Completely. So I guess we should start with kind of what comes first, which is teasing or initiating that you want to engage in oral sex. So could you give us any tips on how we can start initiating more intimate play?
So all intimate play, regardless of what body part is being stimulated or the types of people in bed or how you identify, so all that kind of thing all revolves around a conversation. And that may be verbal, but it also can be non-verbal. I think a lot of people don't fully grasp or understand that the majority of the way we communicate, especially between the sheets, is actually through non-verbal communication. So it's really important to get to know your partner. And if you are, you know, having a fleeting kind of relationship and you don't know that person super well, paying attention to their non-verbal cues is really important. Just to make sure that, you know, you're both having the best possible time that you can.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those cues that we can look out for?
The positive nonverbal cues, or body language, I think most people know it by, mm-hmm. are things like arching of the hips. You may find that you're grabbing onto things. Your toes may start to spasm a little bit. Your leg may shake. You've also got things like, you know, just because you're not using your voice for words doesn't mean you can't use your voice full stop. So we've got the moans of pleasure. We've got little groans. I think the majority of people think that when they hear nonverbal communication, they think this may be something really tricky and that they, how do I navigate this? But actually, as humans, we're really well tuned and set up to understand other people's expressions and their body language. So have a little bit of trust in yourself as well.
I like that you gave examples that weren't like, oh, they'll be really wet, or oh, they'll be really hard, because we've learned about arousal non-concordance and how those things don't always match up. But I feel like that's how we're taught to see arousal in somebody else, mm-hmm. is one of those things.
Absolutely.
So I really like the,
That is like just an incredible point that we don't talk about enough. Our bodies are not, you know, we're not remote control. We don't respond the same way to the same stimulus in every given situation. There's so many factors, especially if you're someone that menstruates, you have, you know, hormonal ebbs and flows. We, aside from hormones and our inbuilt chemistry, we have stress at work. We have arguments with our friends. We have a TV show that we need to see the last episode of and we can't get out of our head. Like, we have lives outside of our sexual selves that all filter in to what happens to us when we are responding to sexual pleasure. And it doesn't always elicit the same response. And I think understanding that and accepting that goes a long way to embracing pleasure and accepting that pleasure comes in a lot of different forms and that sometimes it may not be the same. And if it isn't, don't beat yourself up about it. It's just one of those things.
Oh, that's so beautiful too. I love talking about the ways that our external factors really do come into the bedroom, because I could be having a good time and I'm trying to show you in some of the physical ways that you just described of like the arching or the clenching, but maybe other parts of my body aren't showing that. But it's like, it's because I'm thinking about work or Game of Thrones or my book. It's like, there's so many things that you're right can kind of get in the way of those stereotypical physical signs, but it's like there's so many ways to physically communicate with a partner.
And we don't talk about it enough. I think there's this kind of underlying idea that if you have a vagina, if you're turned on, you're going, it's going to be like, you know, really wet, really ready, like completely able to reciprocate whatever is put in there, regardless of size, regardless of speed. And that's just not the case. Like, for the majority of people, a little bit of lube goes a long way. I think lubricant is something that is the unsung hero of the bedroom, and people tend to think that it's a need rather than a want. And if they need it, they're broken or underperforming in some way. And that is just not the case, especially as you go through your cycle, especially as you get older. Like, I'm nearly 40 years old. My body is not the same as it was when I was 20 years old, and I'm totally fine with that. But that's because I know about this stuff. I read about it. I talk to people like you guys all the time. It's something that's prevalent in my world, a lot of my friends, a lot of the people I went to school with, that's not something they ever really think about. And they think that their body is failing them as they get older. Rather than changing, it's failing. And that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Such a good point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just thinking about last night, which is a little bit of a tangent. But I feel like so much of the beauty standard and like our standard for sex and all of that really is based on not showing any sign of life in our body. And so like we can't have wrinkles, we can't have stretch marks, we can't have any of those things that are just like indicators that like we've lived a life. And I feel like that does apply in sex as well. And it really sucks that is like the standard.
It completely does. And there's this performative element that if you're not, you know, swinging from the chandeliers and screaming the house down, you're having a terrible time. And then we have the orgasm gap and the idea that if we don't climax, they have failed. So there's this additional pressure on us because, well, we're going to hurt someone's feelings if we don't come. So how do we navigate that? It's so difficult. It's so tricky, but it starts with conversation and education and trying to shed some of that societal shame that comes around women enjoying sex and pleasure without the end goal being like pregnancy or orgasm. Like there doesn't have to be an end goal. You can just enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm.
When do you suggest having conversations with a trusted partner? Before the bedroom, outside the bedroom, kind of when should we talk?
I think outside the bedroom. I think what if you're trying to bring it up in the throes of passion or in the kind of precursory steps before that, it feels like an obstacle that's too close to the finish line.
Right.
I think you have to have these conversations almost when you start dating someone, like decide how you want your sex lives to be. We talk about individual sexual style, and that is something that is unique to every single couple out there. No two people have sex in the same way. Mm. And deciding what your expectations are, putting out there to your partner how you like to be touched, what kind of sex you like to have, communicating fantasies, and setting boundaries as well. Mm-hmm. They're all really important elements of having a happy and healthy and satisfactory sex life. And I talk about satisfactory sex a lot, and people think that, well, if it's satisfactory, that's not very good. I should be having the best sex. And if it's not the best sex, it's the worst sex. And it's not black and white. Satisfactory sex simply means you are satisfied. It's like feeling happily full after a meal, like too much and it's not very nice, not enough, you want more. It's about striking that balance.
Mm-hmm. I find it hard in dating to talk about sex early on. I love bringing up that I do this podcast and that Cass and I have been like growing and learning about sex for years now. But I always get like a cheeky, like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. kind of response. And some of that I take because it is silly when you think about the fact that I get to talk about sex all the time. But I also want it to be an open door to a healthy conversation and like a fun, not like laugh at conversation, but sometimes when you're dating the early stages, they take it as more of like a kinky thing to bring up rather than, no, I'm just an adult.
It's just part and parcel of an adult relationship. Yeah. I'm sorry if that terrifies you.
I know. It feels hard to get taken seriously, I guess.
I like completely hear that. And I think that is something that is not going to change overnight. I don't think it's going to change in months. I think it's going to be something that takes years. And the way we kind of elicit that change is by tackling how we teach young people about sex, how we teach them to think about their body, to think about other people's bodies. And I am an absolute advocate for age-appropriate sex education. There are some countries in Europe that start sex education at 5 years old. And that genuinely kind of the reaction that I get on the whole is pearl clutching at that. Like, oh, I don't want 5-year-olds to know about sex. And when we say sex education, we don't mean teaching them, you know, on like there's a penis, there's a vagina, there might be two vaginas, there might be two. It's like that's too confusing for young minds, but what we mean is teaching them about their body parts and that they belong to them. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen in these countries, especially Denmark, is that when you start treating young people with a little bit of respect when it comes to this type of thing, the results of that are actually very profound. There's a reduction in child sex abuse cases because children know to speak up. They know that that's their body part and that belongs to them, and that anyone else needs to have their permission or consent to touch it. So there's all these amazing benefits of talking about sex, but the people in charge of deciding whether we do that or not have a lot of shame around sex. So they're gatekeeping that information. So I think there's this very real battle between what is probably better for the younger generation versus what we or what some adults think is better for them. And I don't think the two necessarily marry up, and I don't think they're going to work long term, because as we've seen, we have my generation whose sex education amounted to a condom being put on a cucumber and that was it. That's all you saw. That's all you heard. It was like, next week we're talking about the mitochondria. Yeah. So it was like, we never spoke about it again. Mm-hmm. So I went into adulthood having all these preconceived ideas about sex. My sex education was sought through the internet when that was invented, because it was not invented when I was younger. I'm really showing my age now. But the internet is not, it is a great source. There are some fantastic sex positive influencers and sex educators out there. But in order to find them, you have to be more liberal about your views in mm-hmm. sex. So if you're just coming from a place of no knowledge and just curiosity, you're probably going to find yourself directed to some sites that, and I'm like thinking porn sites, but I love porn. I think porn's great. It's just, it's entertainment. It's not education. Right. And if you're mm-hmm. seeking your information from there, I think you're kind of not going to get the best result mm-hmm. long-term.
Right.
Absolutely.
I've watched one so much. I forgot what the actual question was. I went on sex education. I'm sorry.
It's so important. No, it's, please don't apologize. It's so important. And I think one of the most important aspects of having sex education is feeling like there's not something wrong with you and there's mm-hmm. not something mm-hmm. to be ashamed about. And I feel like when it comes to going down, that is a really big issue, is feeling like there's something wrong with you, being worried about how you smell, how you taste, being worried about how long it takes you to get in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so we've also talked about like responsive desire. And I feel like a lot of us vulva owners are more inclined to be responsive desired folks and need more time to settle in. So what are some ways that like we can either ask if we're the receiver, or if you know that your partner is like needs more time to settle in, what are some ways to do that when you know that the goal is you want to like be performing oral sex, but you don't just want to jump right into it?
So I think the biggest piece of advice I could give is to prioritize that part of your sexual repertoire. So make sure you have the time, because if you're like, you know, I've got to go to work in 20 minutes, or I've got this, or I've got that, or I've got a really early start the next day, so I want to be in bed at a certain time, that's not prioritizing your pleasure. And I think a lot of people need to reframe how important pleasure and connection is, because we connect with our partners in so many different ways, and being intimate with them is one of the main ones. Yet we don't seem to prioritize that. It just, you know, it happens. We don't plan for it. We don't expect mm-hmm. it. It's just, oh, we're going to have sex. Do we do this tonight? Yeah, we do. And you tend to, or you certainly can do, fall into a pattern, which is really difficult to break if you don't actively say, right, we are going to do this. We want to have, like, we want to connect more. We want to have better sex with each other. And it's not a blame game of one partner is holding the other one back. It's a joint effort. We want to do this together. You're a team. So I definitely think prioritizing your pleasure, setting time aside for it, whether that's, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, you're just drawing the blinds and saying, locking the door and saying, right, whatever intimacy looks like for us, that's what we're going to do this afternoon, mm-hmm. and enjoying that. I think that's probably the best way people can start to make time for themselves in a very real way. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the times that I've wanted someone to go down on me, I'm asking for it in a way that feels like it would be such a gift, you know? And I think advocating for your pleasure is another really big hurdle, because it does feel very selfish to ask for, or at least for me in my experience, to ask for a specific act to be done onto you. And so it's hard for me to want to set aside time that's like, I'm prioritizing my pleasure and I would love it if you'd go down on me. Like, that whole sentence, while sounding logical, feels selfish.
Yes.
And I feel like that's a hurdle for me in prioritizing pleasure.
Well, perhaps it feels selfish to you because you feel like you have this one thing that you are asking for, and it's rather than it being a back and forth conversation. So I would suggest or encourage people to talk openly about what works for them back and forth. So it's not just, I would like this. It's, so I love this, but what can I do for you? And in return, what can you do for me? And ask both partners to ask the same question. So you get to answer it like on behalf of yourself, but then on behalf of your partner as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a massive fan of like list making. Mm-hmm. I think there is so many wonderful things that can come from writing down on a piece of paper things you would like to happen, whether that's manifesting career goals or what you want in the bedroom. I think it all comes down to the same thing, which is putting pen to paper and physically making it exist in the world. Mm-hmm. If you and your partner sit down and say, right, let's write five things that we both want sexually to happen this week, and you swap lists, you then give each other the responsibility of fulfilling your partner's pleasure. And it doesn't matter when you do that or how you do that. You've just got your little roadmap for the week, and you have free rein to make it happen. It also gives you this thing that we love to call positive anticipation, which means you're sexually charged for this event, and you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you just know that it will.
Mother's Day is around the corner, and whether you're celebrating your mama, grandma, guardian, or yourself, celebrate with the mother of all self-care routines by trying out Osea's Mega Moisture Duo. This duo delivers a 1-2 punch in luxurious body care moisturizers with their Anduria Algae Body Oil and Anduria Collagen Body Lotion, both featuring Osea's signature all-natural citrusy scent. I use both the body lotion and the Anduria Algae Body Oil once I get out of the shower, and I use it literally everywhere. This duo is my go-to for feeling glowy and hydrated for literal days, and the Osea Signature scent is one of my faves because it's not overwhelming, but it's like a delicious and fresh smell that just lasts. Since 1996, Osea has been making seaweed-infused skincare that is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DOOMY at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use code DEWME for 10% off. I got chills. That sounds so fun.
It works every single time. It's one of my favorite exercises to give to people, and it nearly always gets, you know, people may not do everything on the list, but it starts to get your partner to see you in a different light, because you're kind of lifting the lid on a little bit of mystery that you've kept back. So you're taking yourself back and your relationship back to when you first started dating, because you didn't know your partner that well. So it just keeps the surprises coming, keeps everything fresh, and just injects a little bit of excitement and anticipation into things.
Ah, I love that. I can also picture somebody else coming into the house and like finding one of those lists and being like, oh, is this your groceries? And then it's not.
If you drop it on the bus or something in the street, and someone's like, Jesus Christ. I know, at 8 a.m. Oh my God.
Someone's having a good week. I love that. I think that's so cool and so fun. And what a playful way. Like, if the conversation itself feels a little, I don't know, embarrassing to be like, I want you to go down on me and then I want you to lick my butt. But if you have a list that you guys switch between, I think that's really, really fun and positive anticipation. Yeah. You're like just constantly Absolutely. Like looking around the
and
corner.
If you are like, I think you just hit the nail on the head with the playfulness element of it. I think as we get older and our relationships get more miles on the clock, you know, life is, it's hard. We have jobs that not everyone loves their job, and we have kids and family and neighbors and friends, and there's so many things to cram in such a short space of time that the joy of life kind of seeps away a little bit. So injecting a little bit of playfulness and a bit of fun into your relationship is just something that is magical when you can do it. If, and I know I have been met with this before, if this suggestion makes you go, I cannot imagine getting a piece of paper and writing down, like, lick my butt on it and giving it to my partner, that's so embarrassing. There are actually board games and other adult games that are designed for couples to reignite different, or to help them experiment, I guess. And there's one called Monogamy. And I do think that is something that is such a great game. It's so fun. It's so silly. And it, you know, it gets couples laughing as well as experimenting together. So it just brings people closer together and creates a, you know, a memory and a bond that you just can't get through like anything else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so fun. I love that all of these suggestions, and it feels kind of like a tangent, but these are all suggestions where you and your partner have to try, and you have to be intentional. And I feel like in relationships or in dating, you expect sex and you expect pleasure, or the expectation is that all of these things come naturally without communication and without effort. And so talking about, like, you have to go out and you have to go get a game, or you have to have this conversation that you're going to swap lists. It's like all of these things require just like this much effort, because good sex takes communication and takes intentionality. And so I love that all of these things aren't just like something you can do in 3 seconds while your partner's reading your mind. Like, I think that's so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also gives you a sense of control over your own sex life. I think for a lot of people, they feel like they can't say something, or they leave it until it's too late, and then the moment isn't right, and they think, you know, next time I will do that, and it doesn't happen. This sense of taking control, I guess it's a bit like deciding you're going to get fit and going to the gym, and you take control of your health, or this is just taking control of kind of your emotional, physical, and intimate health rather than, you know, hitting the gym, you're hitting the bedroom. But I do think that there is definitely something to be said for just taking the bull by the horns and having the conversation, as difficult as that is. I know a lot of people have done it via text. Like, when you get home tonight, we want to talk to you about sex. And then once it's sent, it's sent. And then you have both parties have time to think about what they want to say. I don't necessarily think that's the best way to go about it, but if that's the way you break the ice, if that's how you, you know, put yourself out there in the very first instance, and if that's the thing that starts the conversation, then that's good by me.
I love it.
I love it. I would love to get into the act of going down a little bit more. And speaking of getting into it, like, what are some options for how to, like, actually get into it? Like, you start by making out and then kiss down their body and then make their way? Or just what are some different things you can do to, like, get down?
Like a roadmap. Okay, are you ready? So I definitely think that before you journey south, there should be a little bit of foreplay before the foreplay. And we call this like before care. So we'll have a little conversation. Maybe, I mean, you don't have to talk about your day at all, but just something that, you know, you're starting to get into the mood. What are you feeling like tonight? Maybe light some candles. Setting the scene is so important. If you want to feel romantic, if you want to feel sexy, you don't want to do it with a 1,000-watt bulb blaring. You don't want to do it pitch black either, because you want to be able to see your partner's eyes. Because we're talking about nonverbal communication again. If you can't see your partner, you can't read their expression. You don't know whether that, you're just kind of blindfolding yourself. And unless we're doing kind of sensory deprivation play, I think a pitch black room is probably something you want to avoid. Just light a candle or two, just so you can see a little bit, so you can read your partner's expression. And then, of course, kissing all the way. You set your, this may be a very British saying, but we say set your stall. And it means kind of making your intentions obvious. So you set your stall by your kissing technique. So is it slow and sexy? Is it rough? Is it passionate? Is it fleeting? How you kiss your partner tells them how you want this sex to go. I want this to be slow and sexy, or I want this to be rough and passionate. So your kissing is a really good indication as to how you want your sex to be, what you want your sexual style to be in that scenario. Mm-hmm. And then before you journey down south, I'd always recommend using a lubed finger or two, just doing a little bit of masturbation while you can continue kissing. Your chest and your hearts are together, your eyes and your brains are together, so you're more emotionally connected and more intellectually connected at that moment. Mm. And then once you've kind of started things off on that way, read your partner's body language. We've got the candlelight so we can see the whites of their eyes. We can read their faces. You can ask the question, can I go down on you? That is so sexy, being asked if someone can give you pleasure. Yeah, you can. Okay, great. And if you're not quite ready, no, I want to kiss some more. I love this. Let's keep doing this. Constant communication gives you the best chance of having the best sex, mm-hmm. because it gives you, it's like, did you ever read those storybooks when you were a kid? And it was like, do you want this to happen? If so, go to page 3. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, this is happening. It gave you choice. And again, it's the control you have. Like, being in control of your own pleasure is really sexy. It's such a turn on. Mm-hmm. So always ask your partner in whatever way you feel comfortable asking. Get their consent. Get them to give you pointers. Like, we're not mind readers. We love to know. Like, yeah, I love being touched like that. Mm-hmm. Or you don't have to say, no, I hate that. But, oh, I really liked when you did it this way. Like, repackage how it sounds. Mm-hmm. So it's positive. And after that, yeah, go for it. And go for it. Just go for it. But one of the techniques that I love to talk about is the Kivin method. And instead of you nestling between your partner's legs and them laying on their back, so you're stroking in kind of a vertical motion, your partner, either they lie on their side or you twist your head, so you're stroking across the clitoris in a horizontal motion instead. And it just gives you a completely different set of sensations. Mm. It changes the way your body lies. So it's actually more comfortable. So you can engage in oral sex for a longer period of time, which gives the receiver a much greater chance of having an orgasm. So it just, mm-hmm. it makes a lot more sense from a kind of anatomical point of view.
I 100% want to get into the Kivin method. I saw you quoted in an article about it and I cannot wait to get to it. I have a couple more questions about the going down part, or maybe more so statements that we can walk through. I feel like the most vulnerable motion is the move from like mouth to neck when you're about to initiate. Like, I'm more so thinking about a blowjob right now, but when you're about to go down and it's like, oh my God, it's happening. Cause then you finally move to the part where you're going to start going down. And it's like, I almost have to talk myself into feeling confident enough to be like, this is what I'm doing now. And I don't know why it feels so like vulnerable, but if we're a little insecure about initiating, like, I'm gonna do it, is there anything that we can like talk ourselves up, make ourselves feel a little bit sexier or confident as we're about to do it?
I was gonna say, go for a glass of wine first. Yeah. But no, I mean, you do that if that works for you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say get smashed. So you can do that. That's no advice whatsoever. But yeah, do whatever you can to make yourself feel sexually empowered. That might be, you know, wearing lingerie. That might be treating yourself to some self-care, like whatever that ritual is for you beforehand. Mm-hmm. It might not be any of those things. You might have something completely different. You're like, I love to do this and this makes me feel great. Singing in the shower. One of my friends is like, before she goes on a date, she sings like, and she's going to kill me. I'm not going to say her name. She sings show tunes before she goes out.
I totally get
Hamilton is like her favorite thing to sing. But she's like, it makes me feel like a superstar, like a mother effing superstar. And I go out feeling amazing. If show tunes are your thing, go and do that. Whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself and sexy, that is the thing you need to do.
Yeah. I resonate so much with the show tunes. It's embarrassing.
I was actually talking about you.
I actually told Annabelle about that earlier. Can't believe she brought it up.
Who doesn't love Hamilton? I'm sorry.
I know. It's just all of it. It's just so good. All right. So now that we're down, where are we focusing What parts feel good to pleasure with a mouth on a vulva? Oh, here we go.
I will use my clitoris to help. This is a gift and it's been my most valuable tool. So I think a lot of people, firstly, don't know what their clitoris looks like. They know what it looks like externally, but they don't fully appreciate that that is quite literally just the tip of the iceberg. The clitoris is a much bigger organ than we give it credit for, and its nerves spread just as far as the eye can see. So, well, not quite literally, but it looks like this. If you get to see this at any point, it looks very much like this. So this little bit here is the external bit that we get to see, that we can feel. This is the bit that gets engorged through stimulation when blood is drawn to it. But the rest of it is within our bodies. So it's really difficult to stimulate if you don't know what you're looking for. If you can't verbalize and advocate for your pleasure, it's really hard for your partner to know what is working for you in that moment. Mm-hmm. So once you're down there, I think the best thing you can do is have a little explore. Find out what works. Let me know if you like this. If you need that verbal kind of roadmap, listen out for the moans. Listen for the breath change. That's another big key. You can also use a visual aid. Like, the vulva will flush pink and change color when the blood is there. So once you're seeing a color change, if you have, I'm going to rephrase that because I'm trying to basically say, if you're shaved to within an inch of your life, you will see this color change. But if you are more au naturel, you may not. There are color changes you can look out for, like the flushing of skin. Uh-huh. We also get a little flush on our chest when we are erotically charged in our nether regions. I don't know why. I'm so used to doing daytime TV that I'm really used to using euphemisms to describe everything. I've become painfully aware that it's a really hard habit to break. I'll try.
It's amazing. I'm trying really hard. It's shaved with an inch.
Oh no, it's so hard. You get told off so much if you even say one anatomically correct name on the TV. It all has to be very PG.
Oh jeez.
For the public. I know. We're changing it. We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting
working
there.
On it.
We are working on it, and that's the most we can do. But yeah, do not be afraid of using something inserted during oral sex. I think a lot of people think it has to be external for it to be valid. It doesn't. That may be fingers. You may want to introduce a toy. There are so many sex toys available that aid oral sex, that bolster it. And I'm very much of the opinion that if you can use or do something to give you more pleasure, then why wouldn't you? Totally. I think it's something that I think it's a really tricky one because I don't want to generalize, but from my experience, a lot of people, especially cisgendered heteronormative couples, don't love sex toys as part and parcel. It's like a special event. It's not something they tend to use a lot during sex for a multitude of reasons that we could go into, but I think the crux of it is that it can be felt by some people that if they need a sex toy, they're not very good at sex, which is completely untrue, but is still something through poor sex education and poor kind of communication skills that kind of floats around the subconscious of a lot of people. But sex toys are an unsung hero. So is lubricant, especially something with ingredients like arginine in, something that will cause a tingling sensation. So those tingling lubes, they encourage blood flow to the surface of the skin, engorge your sexual organs and make them more sensitive to the touch, which just means that you're going to feel everything so much more. Everything's going to feel so much better. You're going to feel everything more intensely. And that just increases your chance of orgasm, of having an orgasm. So look at what is out there to help you feel the best you can feel.
Mm-hmm. They're your allies.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a team sport.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It takes a team.
It takes a team to have an orgasm.
Exactly. So with
you know, I feel like a lot of us think of oral sex and just assume like, oh, you'll stick to the clitoris, like the head of the clitoris. Mm-hmm. But what, like, how are you stimulating the other parts in order to explore? Like, if you're wanting to focus on the labia, are you still just primarily using your tongue? Are you sucking? Like, what can you do with them?
So oral sex is not just about the mouth, as it may lend, its name may make you think. We have our own sex toys, our own tools on the ends of our hands. You can use your fingers. I would say a gentle squeeze and tugging. You can play with pubic hair. There's an absolute myriad of sensations to be felt if you just experiment. I don't want to sit here and say X, Y, and Z and you'll have the best orgasm, because as we've already established, everyone is different and no two vulvas are the same. Mm-hmm. There's a TV show on like the UK in the UK called 100 Vaginas at the moment, where it looks at how different we are anatomically, and it's really good, even though it has misnamed the vulva. But it's fine. I'm getting there.
Amazing.
It's like saying throat when you mean mouth. So, but that is good. It's getting people talking for definite. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sex toys, tingling lubes, using your fingers, experimenting with pinching and pulling and stroking, circular motions. I'm a big fan of the mirror technique, where you mirror your movements on each side. Mm. It's like a massage, yeah. Which is essentially what we're after. Mm-hmm. I think that is a technique that is super easy to do. It doesn't require, I mean, the name tells you what you need to do. It doesn't require any crazy level of knowledge that's going to make you feel like you're bad at sex, because I think there's a couple of things people don't think like to think they're bad at, and one's driving and the other is sex. So education in this department is really tricky, because you want to help people without telling people. Mm-hmm. Because the second someone feels like they are being told they're bad at something, they withdraw and they stop listening, and that's not helping anyone. Mm-hmm. So the mirror technique is a really easy technique to do, and that can be transferred across the whole body. You don't have to concentrate on the labia or the vulva. You can take that into the inner thigh, you can take that onto the hips, onto the stomach. That whole area will feel more responsive and have heightened sensations when someone is going down on you. You become more aware of that entire area. So all of that can be really good. You can also use fingernails. If you drag those along the surface of the skin, those little marks that you make, blood will rush to those areas, and that will feel more intense to you. I think the majority of people really want a hard and fast answer, mm-hmm. about what makes good sex, because that would be the easiest thing in the world if we could just read on a list, do this, this, and this, and you're going to be the best lover in the world. And it just isn't the way. Mm-hmm. In saying that, if someone is doing something and it's not quite working for you, don't be afraid to say that you preferred something else, or that can we try it like this. People are really receptive and really responsive to suggestion rather than order. So instead of telling someone do this, it'll work in your favor a lot more if you say, can we try this? The we is really important. It's a joint effort. It's not you, it's us. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I've never played with pubic hair or had it played with. So that's a really fun suggestion for things to add in to stimulating while you're going down. I tend to get small because I'm uncomfortable if I'm doing like a sex act that's not in my usual routine. So like if I'm going down, it's like, okay, this is just what I'm doing with my mouth. And I forget to like kind of open up and use your hands, mm-hmm. and use other, like you're saying, the mirror technique to stimulate other parts of the body that aren't necessarily just the genitals in front of your face.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many sensitive parts that we have that aren't necessary because they're not linked to our sexual organs, mm-hmm. per se. We forget about them, like the backs of the knees. Mm. They are highly responsive. The balls of your feet. A lot of people think, oh, I'll be too ticklish. But then they find that actually during sex, then it doesn't tickle. They just feel a lot of pleasure. Mm-hmm. So definitely try all of these things. Like the body's kind of your canvas, and how you, and the orgasm and the experience is your art. So you get to experiment and create something new every time. Mm-hmm.
Canvas. Like one of the French girls.
Yes. Paint me.
Paint
like
me.
Like what I was going to say that.
It's like, where else can you go when someone says you're a canvas? Like you just go straight to Titanic. I'm thinking now of positions because there are some that lend themselves to being more displayed. And I think some that for people who don't want to be completely spread wide open could be more beneficial to them. So could you go through a couple of positions that are maybe more like, hello, here I am, and then other ones that are just a little bit for the still getting warmed up person.
Still getting warmed up. So the kind of best hello, here I am show tunes, Hamilton Center Stage, would be on your front. Pop a pillow or a position cushion under your tummy so your hips are raised.
Okay.
So you're not only giving your partner easy access to the vulva and to your clitoris, you also have the anus to play with as well. So you're not on your back. It's flipping everything on its head. That is a position that I think is absolutely fantastic. It also lends itself to internal stimulation of the G-spot really easily because you're naturally able to push down rather than trying to turn your fingers around, push down. I think that's a really great one, especially if you enjoy a little bit of anal play as well, because it gives your partner complete, like, kind of VIP access to that area. But a pillow is an absolute must. And if pillows aren't quite raising you up enough, there are sex wedges, position pillows you can get that are really firm, that are really comfortable, that can be used in a variety of different ways and a multitude of positions that just really help get your body in the position that allows your partner to service you best.
I would not have gone to that position first, but that is something that definitely makes me feel displayed.
It's easy access first. Display.
That is everything.
I've got a set of butt plugs that are in my sex toy range that have crystal bases, so I'm all about the ass.
Oh, gorgeous. Absolutely elegant.
Make it pretty. They are, so they're lovely. But for the less showy of us, should I say, I love the chair position. You get to sit up or lean back, so you have a little bit more control over how much of you is on display. You also let your partner access you in a different way than if you're both laying on a bed. So you can put yourself to the edge of the chair, you can tilt your pelvis, you can pull yourself back a little bit. It's something that might not work for everyone, but absolutely allows you to experiment with different ways of access, different angles of access, while still giving your partner kind of easy access to the clitoris, which is quite possibly the kind of lead role in the. Why have we gone down the show tunes route?
The lead role.
I can't believe it's, I'm saying the clitoris is the lead role of all sex.
Upstage. It
is the
Kate
Winslet of cunnilingus.
I love it personally. It's making my day.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
The lead role. Oh my
God. I never should have mentioned Hamilton.
Always mention Hamilton. I love the idea of the chair position. I feel like that sounds really fun, still a little like discreet and closed off if that's like what feels more comfortable
but
to
because
you.
Because it's slightly unusual, even if you are shyer in nature, you'll still feel like you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're doing something a little bit more risque and a little bit more taboo. So it will still tick those boxes and make you feel a bit sexually powerful without actually making you compromise on how comfortable you feel while doing it.
I would love to explore the Kiven method a little bit more. So clarifying to make sure I understand it. So the receiver is like laying on their back and then the giver is like perpendicular to them. So like an L.
So going sideways. Or the receiver will go on their side, bring their, I can't do it for you, but lie on your side and bring your leg up so you have like your knee to your chest, so you have a little bit more easy access. As long as you're kind of at a crossroads with the pleasure, it doesn't really matter how you get there. It's the kind of idea that you're being stimulated side to side rather than up and down.
Okay, got it. And what is that? Why is that such a method and not just like, oh, a technique that you could do?
So the reason that this is so successful is largely down to the different way in which the clitoris is stimulated. So when you go up and down, you're dragging, you can drag the clitoral hood back over the clitoris. So that kind of acts as a slight barrier. If you're going side to side, you're avoiding that. So you're almost doubling. Instead of every other stroke being like spectacular, uh-huh. it's every stroke. So a lot of people, and there are some people have said that they reach orgasm in 3 minutes during this technique. And 60% of the people with a clitoris that experienced it said it was head and shoulders better than regular oral sex. So I definitely think if it's not something you've tried yet, maybe give it a go and see how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to feel good.
I think it sounds good. Yeah. No, that would be great. I didn't realize that the hood can come back over.
I love that the silence after yeah. I finished, you're both like, I could see it in your faces, like the geographical
working out. We need to consider it.
Like, oh, yeah. I can imagine that.
Totally. Yep. I know. It takes you aback when you realize that there's more positions out there. But that's why it's so fun to talk to new people about mm-hmm. different methods. And I also feel like that method leans itself to easier access with your hands as well, if you're wanting like finger penetration.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it opens you up in a lot of ways to experience pleasure in different ways. There's more room for sex toys. I think quite often people say, oh, you know, oral sex and sex toys, there's just a lot going on down there and you don't have mm-hmm. the space or the room to maneuver. Well, with the Kivin method, you do, because you're essentially kind of removing part of your leg, so to speak. You're moving that out of the way, and then you can get suddenly all this extra space for your partner to provide different types of stimulation. There's also just this fantastic feeling you get from trying something new when you're doing it for the first time with your partner, this kind of solidarity of, yeah, we're doing this together, mm-hmm. that it gives you. So there's a whole host of reasons why this could really work for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it sounds like if you're the giver, you are focused on the clitoris. Is it like a flat tongue motion? Like, what are you doing with your mouth when you're down there? Or what are some options for what you can be doing?
Some options are the flat tongue method certainly works. It increases the surface area, so you get to stimulate a lot more of the vulva at the same time. But for some people, they actually don't love that. They prefer very precise stimulation. If you are not as sensitive as some other people, you might need something a little bit more precise, a little bit more mm-hmm. Specified. So a firmer pointed tongue in circular motions and then side to side. If you alternate between that, you can gauge from your partner which type of movement is really working for them and concentrate on doing that. And if you do that, you then have the rest of the area to play with manually, with whether that's with a toy or with your hands, whether that's applying some lubricant, warming, cooling, tingling. There's so many to choose from. One of my favorite things I get to talk about with couples is how much they love shopping for that kind of thing together, having never really experimented with it. Sitting there, again, it's that positive anticipation. You sit there, you scroll, you shop, you talk about, you know, that might feel good. That might feel good. It gets your imagination going, but it also gets you verbalizing around pleasure, so that when you come to advocating for your own pleasure, it's kind of easier because you've already semi had that conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's a great stepping stone into addressing your sexual wants, needs, and desires.
Mm-hmm. So fun. When I'm thinking about ways to kind of elevate the sexiness in any situation, it's eye contact, but I also think that can be kind of hard for people for numerous reasons, but it's just very vulnerable to look down at someone or look up at someone while you're in the middle of an act. I don't mm-hmm. know. What is your opinion? What is your advice on eye contact in the middle of going down on someone?
I mean, do it. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fantastic. It not only reconnects you as it brings you back together, because despite you doing something extraordinarily intimate, it can be quite impersonal because you have no eye contact. Mm-hmm. You're opposite ends of each other.
Yeah.
There's not really any skin on skin connection. So it can be like impersonal for something so personal. So bringing it back, even if it's just fleeting, just taking that moment to reconnect with one another, to say, I'm here, I'm enjoying it. Like, this is something I want. Mm-hmm. It's really encouraging to the giver, and it makes the receiver feel like they are important, like you're checking in with them. You're saying, I want you to feel good, and this is how I'm expressing that. Mm-hmm. So definitely check in with a little bit of eye contact. You do not have to stare at each other for minutes on end. I'm not saying let's do the love is blind, married at first sight, eye gazing for 60 minutes or whatever. Just checking in for a moment or two, making eye contact and reigniting that intimacy is really mm-hmm. important.
Yeah. Focusing on it as intimacy is more helpful to me than thinking like, how can I be really sexy right now and looking mm-hmm. down at them? Mm-hmm. But if it's like, oh, I need to love
I him. Think once you stop kind of packaging your part in sex as service for someone else and start seeing it as I'm reclaiming, like if I'm having a good time, if I take care of my yard and they take care of their yard, and then occasionally we compliment each other on it, then we're going to have a good time. I think quite often we get so mentally bogged down in whether or not the other person is having a good time, we neglect to ask ourselves, are we having a good time? So it's really important to remain, I call it sexual mindfulness, just remain mindful in the moment. Think about how this feels for you, because there is a lot of pleasure to be felt through giving pleasure. It's not all, oh, here, I'm putting this out into the world and there's none left for me. You can feel sexy, you can feel powerful, you can feel a lot of pleasure by going down on someone, by fulfilling their sexual fantasies, by looking after their sexual well-being. That level of care for your partner is a care for yourself.
A good point.
And that also feels like a good thing to, you know, add into that conversation that we were talking about in the beginning, is like, you know, I'm gonna make sure that like my pleasure is good and that I'm feeling good. Like, can you do the same mm-hmm. for yourself, so that I don't have to worry if you're having a good time, so that I just know that you'll tell me if something doesn't feel good?
Yeah, there's an absolute like a really level of trust rule. In this, mm-hmm. like intimate trust. Mm-hmm. You trust that your partner will tell you or at least guide you if mm-hmm. they need something more from you or they need something different from you. And they put the same trust in you as well. So it's a complete two-way street.
Mm-hmm. I started like thinking about when we started the podcast and we'd get people who would say like, no, your pleasure is your responsibility. I feel like I was so taken aback by that statement. I was like, no, my pleasure is my partner's responsibility. But the more I've learned about advocating for yourself and making sure that, you know, you're getting what you need. And then to this point of, it doesn't have to be about performance for the other person's pleasure. If you don't feel mm-hmm. sexy, don't have sexy eyes if you don't feel it, you know, just like feel into mm-hmm. your body and maybe then you'll feel sexy. And it has just made more and more sense and has been more cemented into like my idea of intimacy and sex as we talk about it. So that was a good point, and it was one more nail in the coffin for me in a good way.
No, I love that. In a good way. Like that, because so often your story and what you're saying isn't the way. It's not the kind of general attitude for a lot of people. And it's something that is, it is a shame, because they spend the majority of their adult life when they are having sex thinking about how they can be a better lover, how they can make their partner feel better. And they neglect their own wants and needs. And I think that is something that we are starting to definitely talk about more and look at and work on within ourselves. But it's, you know, we're still a long way off. We've still got this crazy orgasm gap. We still have a lot of people putting themselves last and everyone else first across the whole of their lives, whether that's work, friends, family, marriage or sex. So we have a long way to go, but we've made some steps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I feel like that's a beautiful closer. We've covered so much. I feel like we could talk about it for hours. Mm-hmm. I feel like going down is such an important topic.
I can't believe an hour has gone. I was like Right. When do we start this conversation? Yeah. It's crazy. We can talk about going down for hours.
Forever.
We can, yeah.
But where can our listeners continue connecting with you and learning from you after this episode?
Oh my goodness. Well, I am on Instagram and Twitter, even though I really don't want to be on Twitter at the moment for various reasons. But yeah, I'm old. So. I'm also on TikTok. You can just search for Annabelle Knight and there's only one of me, so I should pop up.
I realize now that I had the da-na-na-na, it's like football.
Yeah.
When I was doing the Office soundtrack, is actually Sunday Night Football.
That's fine.
Song I had in my head, but that's not what I meant.
That's also what you do. You just go through a football episode.
Watch tape, honestly, in my head. I just watch the roll back of practice.
I fucking roll tape in my head, man.
I would not be surprised if some men I've hooked up with are thinking solely about sports.
Based on the quality of their performance in that moment. Yeah.
Totally. God, that's so funny.
You're fucking me like you're thinking about a touchdown. Or a fumble, honestly. This feels more like a fumble.
This feels like a fumble.
And those are the two sports words I know. So
I was going to say, I was like, where's more sports work?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Offsides. This is an offsides engagement.
This is hella offsides. That's when they think you're they're touching your clit, but they're not. They're like all the offsides. Way to the left. Yeah. And then you smack them in the head.
Petition for that to be wrapped into all of your sexual encounters, mm-hmm. you listeners, in the future. If someone does something that is wrong, just say offsides, bitch.
Offsides.
Slap their hand.
Yeah.
Or their
gently.
Head. I don't care.
You can slap them gently.
Lovingly, but just like correctionally, you know? Yeah. Throw a flag down. Yellow, red, checkered if you're into race cars. I mean, you can just
you're
bring
a racer. yeah.
If you're a speed racer. Green flag, though, for Annabelle Knight mm-hmm. and coming on the podcast today. So thank you so much. And thank you, honeys, for hanging out. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. You can head on over to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. You can leave us a written review, rate us on Spotify, watch us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Honey Do Me Podcast to keep up with what we're doing, see episode clips, all of that good stuff. If you ever have an episode suggestion or somebody you want to see, a topic you want us to cover, or just a general question, you can submit that at the link in our bio on any of our socials. And you can... just wrap yourself in the warmest hug of all and kiss the mirror.
And kiss the mirror once and twice for good luck. Mm-hmm. With that, we will see you next week.
Yes, we will, for more genital talk.
Goodbye.
Bye.